Our text tonight is Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, a single verse that is to be found in page 1249 in your pew Bibles. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. I was thinking of, as I was preparing this message, thought about an old movie, which I would not recommend. The message is utter foolishness. It's wrong on human relationships. It's wrong on so much of humanity. But near the end of the movie, there's this man and woman, they're in a relationship, and they're sensing that things are ending. They're sitting on the plane next to each other. They're discussing the fact that the relationship is ending. The woman turns to the man and says, "You know, I don't think this relationship is working. I think we need to call it quits." And the man says that a relationship is like a shark. It has to constantly move forward or it dies. And he says, "I think what we have on our hands is a dead shark." And friends, again, though I don't agree with the movie and its message, even in its view of relationships, Christianity, vital Christianity, relationship with God, is much the same way. A Christian who is not moving forward, who is not making steady advance, or who's not seeing inward corruption, seeing lack of growth, and bringing it before God in sorrow and asking for freedom from it, is at the very least an incomplete and an unhappy Christian. Indeed, as we'll see, the Christian was purchased for the very cause to advance and to be zealous for holiness. What we mean when we hear the term dead orthodoxy, that someone is a dead orthodox Christian, is the fact that they have the creed right, they have their beliefs right, but there's no sense of living vital Christianity, no sense of growth in them. And friends, as we'll see in a moment, as we check out Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul wasn't like that. Look at Philippians 3, 10 to 15. We're going to read it in a bit. Paul was anxious to get as much of heaven in him before he made it to heaven. He would know Christ at all costs. And as we're about to see, he sought to actively forget that which was behind him and to stretch forward, to strain forward towards what was ahead. So let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Again, it's just verse 13, but for the sake of context, we're going to start in verse 10 and read on to verse 14. So join me in Philippians 3, beginning in verse 10. Paul speaking, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And I'm going to read the 13th verse one more time. "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Lord, we do ask the blessing of your word. Give us attention to the word of God. Change us. We don't just want to enjoy the word. We want to be changed forever, for the rest of our lives on earth, as regards to this word preached. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, along with the morning text, what better text for a New Year's Eve text? Our aim ought not to be some jolt of encouragement, like a New Year's resolution that'll cause us to walk with God for 2 weeks and then to falter off, but to find biblical encouragement and exhortation to begin anew a life placed fully upon the altar of God. A new year approaches, brothers and sisters. Will we petition the Lord for a consecrated, holy, fervent year set apart to him? A year and then a life characterized by what Paul talked about, straining forward to what is ahead, forgetting everything that is behind, unsatisfied with all our spiritual accomplishments in the past, stretching forward with all our might to greater godliness, greater conformity to the Son of God, and greater knowledge of Him. This New Year's Eve, let us as a church family present ourselves to God afresh, asking His help and blessing as we seek to be cleansed of all our failures and faults in the past year, thanking Him for His goodness in that year, and to have a new one filled with the love of God and filled with spiritual conquests for His name. As I prayed, whole-souled, wholehearted, whole-bodied devotion to Christ this new year and onward. So, we're going to look at the passage in question in 2 points, two simple points, and it's clear in the text, right? Forgetting what's behind, straining forward to what's ahead. The 2 points are first, the fundamental need for forgetfulness, and second, the surpassing need of stretching forth to the goal. So that's first, the fundamental need for forgetfulness, and second, the surpassing need of stretching forth to the goal. But before we dive into the text, I think it's necessary not only to read the context, but to talk a little bit about the context. So let's first talk about what's surrounding that 13th verse. Paul is telling the Philippians that all the things he gained before he came to Christ, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, righteous and a persecutor of the church. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He had a record unlike any other of keeping the law, every jot and tittle. But in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ and having a righteousness in Him by faith, he considers all those attainments, all that goodness, loss, all the gain he had before, he considers as rubbish compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. In other words, he throws off his righteousness, the righteousness he was attaining of himself and pursuing like a hunter, in order to have a righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. How about you and I? Do we have that righteousness that's not in and of ourselves, but in Jesus Christ? You may have been sitting here and been a part of this church for years, but have you come to a point of lostness in yourself, knowing that you have no righteousness in yourself, and need that all your justification, all your righteousness is in heaven? Have you trusted in that one who will be your justification and righteousness in heaven? Have you done what Paul has done in finding a righteousness outside yourself? But Paul doesn't only desire to know Christ savingly. We see in verse 10, he desires to know Christ experientially. He wants to know a felt Jesus Christ. He wants to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. He wants to know these things in this present life. And then in verse 11, he wants to attain the resurrection of the dead by any means. Not meaning that he has to work up good works to get that resurrection body, but that by any path God would have, either by martyrdom or a comfortable life in the church or death in prison, that Paul would attain that resurrection. But verse 12 makes it clear, he's not obtained it. He's not already been made perfect. He hasn't attained it yet, but he presses on to make it his own. That's where verse 14 comes in. He presses on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's looking forward to that resurrection body, pursuing it and pursuing the prize of Jesus Christ. And like I said before, he would have as much of the enjoyment of that resurrection, sinless body, as much holiness on this side of eternity before he gets that resurrection body. And in the midst of this passage, we come to our verse in question, verse 13. He does one thing. Paul's undistracted. There aren't 5 things, 10 things, 2 things. He's not looking and shifting his ambition between 3 kinds of things and juggling a bunch of different balls. He does one thing. He doesn't consider himself to have arrived spiritually, but does one thing. Paul forgets what is behind and strays forward to what lies ahead. And this here, brothers and sisters, is yet another race analogy that Paul is using. It's a race. I'm not going to look behind. I'm going to keep looking towards the goal as I run ahead. It's like the one used in 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27. He beats his body into subjection lest he become disqualified. And Hebrews 12, that race run with endurance, shedding off every sin that entangles and the weight that easily ensnares, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So forgetting and straining forward to what lies ahead. So we come to our first point. What is meant by forgetfulness? Paul's forgetting what lies behind. And that's our first point, the fundamental need for forgetfulness. In the course of a race, a marathon, there's the need for the runner to keep his eyes on the goal, the prize, the finish line. And there's an utter folly, a foolishness in a runner looking behind him perpetually or being satisfied in how far he's come. Look how far I've come. And then you're satisfied with how far you've come. You've kind of slow your pace and you find that you've been overtaken by other runners. And you've lost the race. You've become disqualified. So, what's meant within its context? What does Paul mean by forgetting what is behind? This is what he means. Primarily, there's maybe a few other things he means that we'll talk about later, but primarily, he's talking about being content, being complacent in our previous spiritual achievements. Notice the context. He's experienced so much. He seeks to know Christ, but he's not obtained it. He's not attained it. He seeks to forget everything behind him. Doesn't seek to have complacency in his previous spiritual achievements, but runs forward. He wouldn't think of all that he accomplished before and be satisfied. He forgets what's behind him. And friends, think about the date of this letter. I think that's important to note. It's probably written around 62 AD. And this is important to note because Paul probably dies 64 AD, around that time. 2 more years of life ahead of Paul. In other words, there's this body of Christian experience that he's experienced beforehand. And he's saying, I determined to forget that experience. I determined to forget the rapturous vision of heaven that I experienced, where I was caught up into the third heaven and saw things so glorious I couldn't speak about them. I forget the fact that I have gotten such spiritual attainment that I can confidently tell others to follow me as I follow Christ. Near the end of his life, after a record of unmatched godliness, Paul says, forgetting, I forget. Forgetting what lies behind. He forgets. He will not be stunted by previous achievements. He needs to go on. He doesn't camp out in those achievements. He isn't contented with them. As Calvin says, he doesn't think of what he has been or what he's done. He must go on. And just to bring it home, just to apply it home, to the young in our midst, to the spiritually young in our midst, to those who have been walking with God for many years, those who are aged, we might see that both age and level of spiritual experience, if you've been walking with the Lord for 5 years, or 20 years, or 50 years, there is no preclusion, no excuse from this action of forgetting, of looking at all our spiritual experience. And yes, as Pastor Paul said today, we need to remember, we need to look to it, but to use it as fuel to walk with God further and not to be spiritually complacent in it. Friends, have we ever attained? Have we gotten to the spiritual place that we would be comfortable at? Are we ever ready to coast by and be comfortable in previous spiritual attainments? Friends, despite your age, your spiritual age, we ought to always be in the business of perpetually forgetting. And friends, if you and I are relying on, camping in either present spiritual experience, we're complacent and comfortable where we're at spiritually now, or looking to the past and being comfortable in what God has done in the past, we ought to know that we are completely out of step with Paul's desire here and with the Scripture's revelation throughout its testimony. To stretch forward and to attain to greater heights, it's necessary to resist this tendency of ours to camp out, take comfort in our present spiritual achievements or our previous spiritual achievements. Friends, we ought to know this common saying. I'm sure you've heard it. that we are only as spiritual as we are at this present moment. We're only spiritual as we are right now. We're not as spiritual as we were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We're only as spiritual as we are right now. And friends, if we cling to bygone times of godliness and holiness, if we look back as runners in the race rather than leap forth to precious future attainments in Christ, we'll suffer serious loss. Think about that runner's analogy. Looking backwards, looking at how much ground you've achieved, and then being quickly overtaken by runners. Maybe you've read some biographies of people who have experienced revival. I know I have. And there's something scary about people who've experienced revival. Revival's a beautiful thing. It's a godly thing. It's something we should pray for. But there's a sense in which there are certain people who, after experiencing the presence of God and the pouring out of the Spirit upon a community or a church, that these people live in that previous time and make no advancements for the rest of their life. I think of a story. A pastor, a theologian, at one time went to Wales, preached in a church, and this was, I think, in the 80s, and there were some living people there who had experienced the Welsh revival in the early 1900s. And so he went to go talk to one of these old women who'd experienced that, and she kind of was just sitting there and not very excited. He began to ask her about the revival, and she came to life. Was talking about the times, oh yes, the schools would be filled with the presence of God, and we had to dismiss school because we were just overwhelmed with the reality of God, and you'd walk down streets and you'd hear people singing the praises of God all night, and church services would extend their meetings. Thousands upon thousands would trust in Christ. The man was excited to hear this. That's great. Well, tell me about your spiritual life now. He'd asked her, what's your spiritual life like now? She said, oh, well, I don't really go to church that much. That time is over. I listen to my hour program on the radio, hear the sermon, get my food for the day, and that's about it. I go about to my times. But those were wonderful times, those revival times, times in the presence of God. And friends, that's our perpetual danger, is it not? If we've experienced God's goodness, His presence, spiritual attainments and achievements, we can be like this old woman, no doubt a Christian, comfortable in previous spiritual experiences and thinking there's no use in straining forward. What would Paul say to this old lady, this woman who'd experienced revival? He would tell her of her need to forget it all. And friends, the truth of the matter is a refusal to forget past spiritual achievements is a sure way to backsliding, either past or present. If we're complacent and not striving forward towards greater godliness, it's a sure way to backsliding. You think of stagnant water. Maybe you've been around a pool or a lake or a body of stagnant water. That lack of movement of water causes a foul smell out of the water to arise, a smell like rotten eggs. And friends, if we remain contented in our previous spiritual achievements, we start to spiritually stink. We have no life in us. And our self-complacency, our self-spiritual complacency, will not cause us to go forward to greater heights, will not cause us to battle sin, will not cause us to beg God of more of His life in our soul. Instead, we will stroke our previous achievements in comfort. And this lack of growth, as I said, is the direct cause of our backsliding. Because as we're comfortable, and as we think we have all we need, we do not war, and therefore sins creep in. We don't pursue greater pleasures and heights with Christ. And so instead of pleasures in Him, we seek other pleasures. Brothers and sisters, this is our perpetual danger. This is our perpetual danger. Don't see someone pointing one finger at you, four are pointing back at me. Brothers and sisters, this new year, let's remember all of God's goodness towards us in the past. But let this be fuel to move on and to forget where we have been and not to be content previous achievements. So that's a primary meaning of what it means for Paul to forget what's behind and strain forward what's ahead. But the wording here is general enough to make us think of Hebrews chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians 9. It's general enough to make us think that Paul is forgetting anything anything that would hinder the straining he talks about later. Anything that would be a hindrance to his getting to the goal of this race. Anything that would stop him from stretching forth with all his might towards the finish line. And anything that would keep him from getting as much of Jesus Christ on this side of eternity as he could. So maybe there's two other categories we might see as things that might hinder us from pursuing that finish line with all our might. Well, pet sins, spiritual distractions, cast our eyes backwards. Think of those things which have dragged you in without you even knowing towards self-complacency. Maybe you've added them to your spiritual walk and they've at best added ambiguous value. Maybe it's been, you've convinced yourself that it's a neutral thing that you can add on to your walk with God. But as time goes on, it proves to be a hindrance and a weight, as Hebrews 12 talks about. Friends, with Paul, we ought to forget what lies behind. You as a Christian cannot be complacent with stagnancy, and we can't be contented with these things. And maybe a third category, the one that we might think of immediately when we read this verse, past failings, iniquities, failures as a Christian. Perhaps a sense of guilt because of sin committed, even though you have seen the light, or sin committed before you closed with Christ. Perhaps you're in the place personally where you yourself can't forget your own sin and you can't forgive yourself for what you've done as a Christian or even before. How can you run after him if you've sinned against him like blank, whatever it is that's causing shame? Maybe you feel the sharp pain at the remembrance of a period of sinfulness or even a single act of wickedness in the midst of your Christian walk. But oh friend, you must, in the same way you forget about all those experiences, past and present, to strain forward, in the same way you forget pet sins, you must forget your past sins, either committed as a Christian or before. Such a focus on your past sins will stunt that straining and will impede and prevent you from greater spiritual attainment. And how can we forget this sin? Well, God, friend, God himself has forgotten that very sin. God is eternal and all-knowing. There's no involuntary memory lapses with God. And yet God deliberately chooses to forget our sin. As Micah 7:19 tells us, he casts all our sin in the depth of the sea. You might see a God who casts your sin in the depths of the sea. And you might say, God might forget my sins, but I can't. And friend, I would say to you, you must forget those previous sins. Listen to a wonderful godly pastor named Jeff Thomas. Wonderful quote. Who said, if the blood of Christ, listen to this, if the blood of Christ has satisfied God's righteousness, it can satisfy your conscience. If the blood of Christ has satisfied God's righteousness, it can satisfy your conscience. He says, I must put my past behind me. I must leave it there. Close quote. Dear friend, for all those past sins, either before you were a Christian that are hampering you down out of guilt, or in the midst of your Christian walk, you are given the very blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses you from all your previous unrighteousness. And not only that, you are given with Paul, if you trust in him, the perfect righteousness of this Christ accredited to your account so that you might ever and always approach this Lord and God. Nothing bars you, not anything in your blood-washed past, either as a Christian or a non-Christian, if you'll trust in him, from straining forward to him. Maybe you're here and you're hearing all of this, forgetting about spiritual achievements, past achievements, forgetting about all these things and straining forward. And you yourself desire, because you've not come to Christ, that your past would be forgotten. And friend, this is the good news. Your past of sinfulness and bondage to slavery and sin may be forgotten because God the Father placed the sins of his people in the body of Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life and took on the sins, the curse, and the punishment of his people in his body on the tree. God poured out his wrath upon him so that you who are burdened by the guilt of your sins might look to Jesus Christ. He invites you, look to me, all you ends of the earth, and be saved. That at the moment of your looking, all your sins would be plunged into the sea of God's forgetfulness. And God would give you a new heart, salvation, new creation. Will you do this? Will you trust in Jesus Christ tonight on this new year? Begin the new year a born again Christian. So friends, if it be spiritual complacency, some pet sin, or your own guilt, forget it all. Leave it behind. Forget with Paul. Paul didn't only forget. Paul forgot, and Paul strained forward. He stretched forward. And that's where this second point comes in, the surpassing need of stretching forth. To be a successful runner, you need not only forget what's behind you, you need stretch forth, strain forward. And this Greek word, it's only used one time in the New Testament. It gives us this image. It's a runner racing toward the finish line. But it's not just a racing. It's not even just a sprinting. It's a straining forward. It's the runner putting his arms out, kind of putting his body out dart-like, and just kind of propelling himself forward to the race line. And friends, this is the kind of thing Paul did. His whole body strained forward to the mark. Paul, everything in him, racing forward, panting, chasing after holiness, chasing after as much resurrection reality in his body, chasing after Christ. Paul's past attainments were not enough. Past achievements were not enough. He forgot. And he ran after with all his might, holiness, and the ultimate prize, Jesus Christ. Paul wasn't as the caricature of many American Christians and many comfortable Christians is around the world today. Those that have an imputed righteousness of Christ by faith, they believe in Jesus. And then they coast the rest of their lives. I'm saved. One way ticket to heaven, I'm there. Paul would not do that. He wasn't content to coast by and to be saved and hold on till heaven. Paul, in the meantime, would have heaven in his heart before he was in heaven. He wanted to be as holy as he could be. He wanted as much of that resurrection life as he would experience in the future in his life on earth. As much holiness, as much godliness, as much conformity to Christ and communion with him as humanly possible. He strained, arms outward, body like an arrow darted out towards the goal. He strained and he stretched. And again, friends, this ought to be characteristic of your life as a Christian. If you're thinking, I'm a particularly weak Christian, I can't do this, I've tried and I've stumbled, take comfort from this point. You were redeemed and you were purchased and you were brought to salvation for this purpose. You were brought to be zealous for holiness. That's the purpose of your salvation. Listen to this verse, Titus 2:14. Just listen to the purpose of your salvation. Titus 2:14. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Why? To redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. What? Who are zealous for good works. Purchased, made born again, saved, so that you might be a strainer, that you might be one who is zealous and fervent for good works. So, again, straining forward. And if you have any remembrance in the past, it's remembrance that will fuel prayers, petitioning God and begging him for future grace, future holiness, future power to get to that finish line. And this is the shining characteristic of men and women of God throughout the ages. I remember one time hearing Martin Lloyd-Jones say that the thing that was most attractive to him in Christians he knew wasn't intelligence, it wasn't giftedness, it wasn't charisma, it wasn't speaking ability. The thing that attracted him most, or was most attractive to him and other Christians, was spiritual desperation. That's the thing. Spiritual desperation. What Paul is doing here, the willful forgetting, willful straining, willful jutting out and grabbing a hold of future holiness and future godliness. I think of one example other than Paul, and that's of Moses. There's kind of a parallel between the two, is there not? Moses in Exodus 3 sees the angel of the Lord in the burning bush. Jehovah, the everlasting God speaks directly to him. Indeed, we're told in Exodus 33:11, God speaks to Moses face to face as with a friend. He sees God's mighty acts of deliverance, these powerful works bringing Israel out of the house of bondage, out of the house of slavery, out of Egypt. And even on top of that, he's promised God's presence to go forth with him into the promised land. But for Moses, this was not enough. He forgot what was behind him, all those experiences. He strained forward to what was ahead. He no doubt was thankful. He was no doubt filled with gratitude. But after all this, he asked God in Exodus 33:18, please show me your glory. He asks for more. And he gets it. God gives him that proposition of himself in Exodus 33:18. Wasn't enough. He forgot. And he strained forward. Again, we mentioned Paul's example. Near the end of his life, 62 AD, experienced so much. He forgets, but he strains forward. He ceases not to lay hold upon the prize and to seek to know Christ all the more and to obtain holiness. And friends, if Paul, how much more we? Some of us have been walking with Christ for many years, as I said, and others relatively short amount. As there is no excuse from forgetting and not being complacent in experience and holiness, either present or in the past, there is no excuse from straining forward violently to pursue God and all that he has for us in holiness, communion, growth, and the fruits of the Spirit, you name it. No excuse from straining forward. So friends, our Christian lives, old or young, are to be characterized by this straining, whole-souled, wholehearted, running after Christ, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. I don't like to give so many quotes in my sermon, but in this sermon, there's a few quotes, because it's important to hear other godly men and what they have to say. Listen to what Jonathan Edwards had to say about Philippians 3, 12-14, when giving advice to a young Christian. Young Christian approached him, how do I be godlier? How do I walk with God? How do I become spiritually mature? This is what Edwards tells him, rather her. Quote, I would advise you to keep up as great a strife and earnestness in religion as if you knew yourself to be in a state of fleshliness and were seeking conversion. We advise persons under conviction to be earnest and violent for the kingdom of heaven. But when they've attained to conversion, they ought not to be the less watchful, laborious, and earnest in the whole work of religion, but the more so, for they are under infinitely greater obligations. Because they don't do this, Edward says, many persons, in a few months after their conversion, have begun to lose their sweet and lively sense of spiritual things and to grow cold and dark and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Whereas, if they had done as the apostle did in Philippians 3, verses 12 to 14, their path would have been as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Keeps going on by saying, don't leave off seeking, striving, praying. Pray your eyes may be open. Pray you may receive sight. Pray you may see the glory of God in Christ. And it's hinged upon Philippians 3, 12 to 14. Brothers and sisters, what better text again? To hinge our new year on. What better text to have before our eyes? If you're a Christian, you have spiritual ambition and desires. You do. It's true. A mark that you're a true Christian is there's this warring in you, as I prayed before. Desires, and yet the flesh pulling this way. There's a warring happening within you. And you probably, as many of us, want to come to this new year and devote the rest of this year and indeed the rest of your life to greater attainment of spiritual good and spiritual achievement, greater fruits of the Spirit, greater husband, father, grandfather, son, student, employee. What better text to have before our eyes, not only to obey this new year, but every year the Lord gives us, whether we have two left as Paul or 50. And we can apply this to so many areas of our life, as I said, the improvement of our prayer lives, the content of them, our reading of Scripture, fellowship with one another, our warring with sin, and obtaining greater knowledge of Christ. It's all possible. But if you've been a Christian for any period of time, we're sensible of our own failure in this department, are we not? You might have prayed before, you know, last New Year's, devoted it to the Lord, and he's been faithful in so many ways, and yet your own sin has gotten in the way. I know my sin has. We know we're constant failures. We desire lofty things for ourselves. And we so often let God down. So in the midst of a text like this, how then can we walk in this? Well, I've got three P's for you. Two are kind of implied in the text, and one is there. But three P's as a general guidance for walking with God this new year consistently. These are the three P's. Pray, plan, proceed. Pray, plan, proceed. Pray. You might not see prayer in this text, but prayer undergirds, prayer is around every commandment of Scripture. Why? Any spiritual ambition or any commandment is but a lofty dream apart from humble prayer. All our efforts are impossible without God's aid. Every commandment in Scripture has verses like these two in the background. Just listen to the verses. John 15:5, when Jesus tells his disciples to abide in him, he says, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." Hosea 14:8, God says, "I am like an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit." And if you're thinking of your own spiritual apathy and thinking of immediate changes that need to be made, I hope we're all thinking of improvements to be made this year and petitioning and consecrating this year and every year in the future to him. Humbly ask the Lord. This is that prayer aspect. Humbly ask the Lord for his assistance in any change to bring about. Tell him, "Lord, I want to improve upon my Bible reading, but Lord, I know I will fail if it's up to me. I'm useless. Please help me. I can't guard my tongue. I can't be a better father. I can't be patient. I can't do these things without you." And friend, tonight, petition him with a whole heart. Ask him earnestly. Ask him fervently, feeling your personal past failures in your heart. Ask him to help you. "Help me, Lord. Give me power. Give me grace." Plead his promises and desires back to him. Tell him, according to Colossians 3:16, "You desire, Lord, that your word would dwell in my heart richly." But God, let this new year be marked by a spiritual growth and consistency I've never known before. Give me new heights of spiritual communion with you. Beg him for it. And friends, during the new year, if they come, pray. Go to him in prayer again. Confess your sins to him. Don't stew in your sins. Don't throw up your hands in resignation. Be reminded of that imputed righteousness of Christ, the cleansing blood of Christ, always available to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And friends, see how the Lord will answer. I remember praying this to the Lord last New Year's, praying these kinds of things. And I am not as godly as I wanted to be. There's a lot of mistakes, a lot of failures. It's all my fault. But I can honestly say that I would not have been where I am would it not have been God's faithfulness to answer that prayer on his end. So friends, bring it all before him as this new year approaches. Secondly, to plan. Again, not directly in the text. But we have to be sure that Paul knew the things that he would forget behind, knew certain objects that he would strain forward to. All of our desires, even if prayed out, will and do fail if we do not plan. And no doubt Paul, in his forgetting the things behind, had particular methods to do this, as I said. So as you are having spiritual desires and ambitions going forward in this new year, do you have a plan? May I suggest maybe planning a time, a specific time to meet God in his word daily? If it helps, take up a Bible reading plan. Maybe many have heard of the Robert Murray McShane Bible reading plan, for instance. I prefer, you know, and I'm going to use this year, the discipleship reading plan. One that's a great tool because it requires you read 5 times a week. So you have 2 days kinds of catch up every week, 5 to 6 days a month for catch up at the end if you've missed any days. But do you have a plan like that to read through the Bible? I'm going to read this much every day, or I'm going to read this amount, or I'm going to just get before God at this time and read before him every day. Do you have stated times of prayer? Do you abide by them? So you pray, you plan, and then lastly, you proceed. Notice Paul in this passage. God doesn't forget for him. God doesn't strain for him. He actively forgets. He actively strains forward to what is ahead. Feelings are fickle, and if they are alone, our motivation for obedience, we will fail. And without prayer for grace and power and assistance from God, we cannot proceed. But after we've prayed, after we've asked God for assistance, and his help. We have to turn our feet and act. We have to actively forget. We have to actively strain forward. We fail so often because we expect God to bring a wind of spiritual desire or to pick us up, bring us to our spiritual disciplines, bring us to greater godliness, bring us to killing sins. We can't do it without him, but we must act. And I'm going to give you one last scripture reference. Write it down. This is a perfect scripture reference for this. The psalmist in Psalm 119, in that call to worship, notices those two things. Psalm 119, 57 to 60. The prayer, God, I can't do it without you, and him stepping forward and doing it. This is what he says, 57, or rather 58, I think. No, 57. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. Here's the prayer aspect. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. Prayer. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. That's the proceeding aspect. You pray, you proceed. You bring it before God, and then you act. These are our three P's. Pray it before God. Hey, Lord, I want to forget everything behind, strain forward to what's ahead. I cannot do it without you. And Lord, this is my plan, and I pray that you'd help me. And then step forward as the psalmist. Entreat him with all your heart. Ask him to be gracious. Think on his ways. And then you yourself turn your feet to his testimonies and hasten and do not delay. So these are our three P's. As we close, friends, as we approach the new year, let's seek to imitate Paul in this. Have we been justified by Christ's blood? Have we been purchased by him? Then we are purchased unto holiness. We are purchased unto forgetting what's behind and straining forward with our arms stretched out to what's ahead. To Christ, to the resurrection body, to glory in heaven. If you're a Christian here tonight, the desire for spiritual ambition resides within you. Oh, friends, don't you want this new year and the rest of your life to be characterized by Philippians 3, verse 13. Humbly and with your whole heart, bring yourself before the Lord, even tonight. Ask him for help. Be specific with him. And imitate this Paul. Forget about your previous spiritual achievements. Don't be complacent in them now. Don't be satisfied with them. Let's strain after the things which are ahead, as much holiness, as much of Christ, as we can have on this side of eternity. Only with his help. Let's pray. Lord, we pray your blessing as we approach this new year. That as Paul in this text did, that we would forget either our own failures or our own self-complacency, and that we would stretch forward with all our might to greater holiness, Christ's conformity, more fruits of the Spirit, more godliness, achieved through prayer and the Word, achieved through attending to the public means of grace. God bless Seventh Reformed Church. Bless us all. And Father, we do ask for a visible to every saint here, to themselves, a visible growth, a visible change this year and every year forward, to petition you with this text every year, that we might forget what's behind and strain forward to what's ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.